So welcome. We're in batch number 5 of local news and features. It's Tim and Liz now, so warm welcome to Liz. And this is for Update Talking News for October the 25th. I can't believe where the time's gone. Yeah, before we know it, it'll be Halloween and then Bonfire Night. And then FP. Which is the festive period. So we have for you Liz's one and only quiz coming up shortly, but we've got 4 headlines for you because we have 4 stories in each batch. And my headlines coming up are NHS dental crisis as Marina 68 pulls out 2 teeth, and Wedgwood owner loses millions as turnover drops. And Liz has for you:
hundreds gather for unveiling of Queen Elizabeth II statue, and teacher issues warning as hacker raids £3,500 from account to leave him with just £20.
And now it's time for the one and only quiz with Liz. We've got 11 general knowledge questions for you. Fire away.
Okay, number 1. How did London's Covent Garden get its name? Number 2. What former British colony, now part of Guyana, gave its name to a type of sugar? Number 3. Which English historian and saint was known as the Venerable? Number 4. Which English queen had the shortest reign? Of all our queens, that is. In England, sorry, English. Because not Scotland, by the way. Oh, that's a hint. Number 5. To which animal does the adjective canine relate? Number 6. Which French ferry port is closest to England? Number 7. How many centimes were there in a French franc? That's pre-Euro. Number 8. Of which European state was Prince Rainier III the ruler? Number 9. What name is given to a solo song with instrumental accompaniment in opera? Number 10. James Boswell is mainly remembered for his biography of which writer? And my bonus question. Now, this won the award for the funniest joke at this year's Edinburgh Festival Fringe. Mark Simmons, this is his joke, his one-liner begins: I was going to sail around the globe in the world's smallest ship. Okay, what's the punchline? How does it end? So that's my quiz.
Wonderful stuff, and keep listening because we will give you the answers in a couple of batches' time, probably in batch number 7. Okay, so I've got 2 headlines coming up for you, but my first one, before Liz does hers, is NHS dental crisis as Marina 68 pulls out 2 teeth. A pensioner pulled 2 of her own teeth out because she couldn't get an NHS dentist. Marina Chaplin, 68, revealed her horror story as it emerged that 97% of people who try to get in with an NHS dentist are now unable to do so. The retired college admin assistant finally took out a loan to go private after trying and failing to get in with NHS dentists for 4 years. Marina said, "I couldn't get in with an NHS dentist in Staffordshire anywhere. It's disgusting. You used to be able to get an NHS dentist, no problem. Now you can only get dental work done if you're rich or you do what I've done and go into debt. I've worked all my life and what I need from the NHS is not there for me." The mom of 6 added that, "I had 2 teeth which were coming loose and I was in pain, so I kept wiggling them until I was able to pull them out." Marina, who suffers from osteoporosis, was told by her consultant that she needed medication. However, it came with the risk of a side effect that would affect her gums, so her GP would not prescribe it until she'd seen a dentist. She had to take out a loan for £2,500 to have 3 teeth removed and a partial denture fitted before she could get her medication. However, she still faced a long wait for this to be carried out, with procedure now expected next month. Marina said, my new dentist only works 2 days a week. Previously, I used to get better care when I was with an NHS. It's crazy, but I don't blame the NHS, I blame the politicians. A spokesperson for the Department of Health and Social Care said this government is committed to rebuilding NHS dentistry, but it will take time. We will start with an extra 700,000 urgent dentistry appointments to help those in need and reform the dental contract to encourage more dentists to offer NHS services to patients. Prevention is better than cure, so we will also introduce supervised tooth bruising and not tooth brushing for 3 to 5 year olds. It says bruising here. They've got the word wrong. For 3 to 5 year olds to prevent so many children ending up in hospital to have their teeth pulled out. So over to Liz, who's going to do the next story for us in batch 5.
Hundreds gather for unveiling of Queen Elizabeth II statue. Hundreds of people have gathered to watch the unveiling of a town's new statue of Queen Elizabeth II. Newcastle Borough Council commissioned the bronze sculpture of the late Queen to mark the town's 850th anniversary last year. The finished statue, created by Pottery's-born sculptor Andy Edwards, was formally unveiled in Newcastle's Queen's Gardens. It now stands just yards from the statue of Queen Victoria, Queen Elizabeth's great-great-grandmother. But unlike the older statue, the new artwork is at ground level and has been designed to be approachable and interactive, reflecting Queen Elizabeth's public image. The cost of the statue has been fully covered by Staffordshire Digger Giant JCB and developer Capital & Centric, which is behind a number of regeneration projects in the town centre. Representatives of both firms joined local dignitaries, Mr. Edwards, and the children from St. Giles and St. George's C of E Academy for the unveiling event. Oops, sorry. Council leader Simon Tagg said, "This has been a great day for Newcastle, excuse me, and you can see from the turnout how much the Queen meant to people here. We've now got statues of two queens in Queen's Gardens, our two longest-serving monarchs, which will hopefully help attract tourists to Newcastle. The interesting thing about the statue of Queen Elizabeth is how it is interactive. People are able to approach it at ground level." Tim Heatley, co-founder of Capital & Centric, said, "This was about showing our commitment to the future of Newcastle. The statue wasn't our idea, but when the opportunity came along to support it, we knew it was something we wanted to do. At Capital and Centric, we always think about the long term. We have 3 projects in Newcastle Town Centre, and we will be looking to start construction work soon. This statue is the first physical sign of our investment in Newcastle. It's the equivalent of us presenting our new neighbours in Newcastle with a bunch of flowers." Mr. Edwards' other works include the world-famous Beatles statue in Liverpool and the sculpture of Stoke City legend Sir Stanley Matthews at the Bet365 Stadium. He based his statue of Queen Elizabeth on a photograph of her visit to Newcastle in 1973. Mr. Edwards said, "It is a big day for Newcastle. For a small town to succeed at doing something like this is something I'm proud of. The loss of Queen Elizabeth is still deeply felt across the country and by countless people around the world. She was a constant in all our lives. It does feel odd that she's not around anymore, but I do believe people are comforted to be reminded that the Queen knew how much affection she was held in. This work has been commissioned and designed to express that." Carol Holt was among the Newcastle residents who came out to watch the unveiling of the statue. She said, "I'm just glad that she's here." And then if I could put a bit of a personal note in, I know some people have complained and said she should be on a plinth like Queen Victoria, but I know my grandchildren went to see it and they were sort of cuddling the Queen and all sorts. And I think it's quite good. And that's from me who's a bit of a Republican. So, yeah, they were quite thrilled with it to be. I've got photographs of them embracing the Queen. So, over
amazing
to Tim.
Amazing stuff. Thank you. Okay. That was an interesting anecdote. So, Wedgwood owner loses millions as turnover drops. Pottery giant Wedgwood has had millions of pounds wiped off its operating profit. Latest accounts show that the company that owns Wedgwood has an operating profit of 1.1 million in 2023 compared to 12.5 million in 2022. It comes as the firm, which also owns the Waterford, Royal Doulton and Royal Albert brands, also saw a turnover fall from 33.7 million in 2022 to 29.5 million last year. Now, Fiskars UK say the development of its World of Wedgwood Visitor Centre is continuing and attempts are being made to woo back Chinese and Japanese tourists following COVID. In its annual accounts, the board stated whilst cost of living pressures, including inflation and energy costs, continue to dampen willingness to spend and impact factory efficiency, is also a year of significant internal change. Major restructuring within the sales organisation also resulted in cost savings alongside a focus on fewer but stronger account partners, and coupled with pricing and new pay for performance discount terms plus extended trade portal usage has delivered better margin control across the company. Recovery of international visitors to the UK, especially London, has seen stronger sales in stores at Harrods and Selfridges. Development of the visitor attraction at Barlaston continued, and revenue levels have returned to pre-COVID levels, even though international visitors have yet to return in significant numbers. Recent event on site with both the Japanese and Chinese tourist bodies are looking to influence this, and the management house of Waterford and World of Wedgwood has just recently been amalgamated, so the synergies can be leveraged between both sides. So over to Liz, who's going to do our final story in batch number five.
Teacher issues a warning as hacker raids £3,500 from his account to leave him with just £20. A teacher whose identity was sold on the dark web lost his £3,500 savings while on holiday with his wife after a Romanian hacker used it to pay for a hotel and drinks tab. Matthew Shaw, a 27-year-old science teacher, was on holiday in Cornwall in August 2021 with wife Davina, 27, who works in a nursery, and the couple were looking forward to the two-week trip as their only chance of the year to go away. One day, while driving to try jet skiing for the first time, Matthew said he unexpectedly received a notification on his phone from his bank telling him his account had just paid £3,500 for a hotel stay, although the location and name were not provided. Panicking, Matthew said he called the bank, First Direct, which concluded that someone from Romania had opened an account in his name with Manise, a digital financial services company, using his identity, and linked it to his First Direct account to pay for the hotel after finding his details on the dark web, which the company said could cost just $10. The £3,500 transaction left Matthew with just £20 in his bank account, and the couple had to end their holiday a week early, leaving Davina in tears. Matthew said First Direct was brilliant and the money was refunded a week later, but even now, having tightened his security measures, he said he receives at least 6 or 7 email notifications every day asking him to approve unauthorised sign-in attempts. Speaking about the moment he received the notification on holiday, he said, "We had woken up, we had breakfast and we were on our way to go and do jet skiing, something we've always wanted to do. Then I parked up and I had a notification at the top of my phone saying £3,500 has been paid to a hotel. I thought, oh my God, what is this? And I rang First Direct straight away and said, this is not me. They were going through their security questions, but I was just panicking and thinking, all my money's gone. That was our savings for a house and it's all gone." At the time, Matthew was an unqualified supervisor teacher. He said his only opportunity to take leave over the summer was during the 6-week school holiday period. And because Davina was restricted with her holiday allowance, the couple had planned their 2-week camping trip in Cornwall thoroughly. "We have that one holiday for the whole year, and that's it," Matthew said. The couple had booked tickets to visit a seal sanctuary and a crystal maze in Cornwall, and were on their way to try jet skiing when Matthew received the first notification. "First Direct said my email had been hacked and a person in Romania had obtained my ID, set up a bank account using my ID, and then basically paid for a hotel with all the drinks and everything using my credentials, which then came out of my bank account. They said the process was that someone had hacked into my email, got my ID and everything, and then that was published to the dark web, and apparently you could pay $10 to access someone's information. Matthew said he is tech savvy and had different passwords for all his accounts, and he regularly changed his email address, so he did not think he was vulnerable to identity theft. But being left with just £20 in his account, the couple had to cut their trip short and ask for refunds for their upcoming ticketed events in Cornwall so they could afford to buy petrol to get home. Davina was upset, crying, and on the way home it was a quiet car journey, Matthew said. I think we were both in shock. Our holiday that we go on once a year has been ruined by someone who is probably doing this 10, 11 times a day. And you just think, why have they chosen us? I was just thinking, what could I have done better? You start to blame yourself. As he waited for updates from First Direct's investigation, Matthew was feeling concerned and wondered, how is this even possible? What else have they got access to? After a week, the £3,500 payment was refunded to his First Direct account, which was a huge relief. And Matthew said he was impressed with how the bank handled the case. He was placed on a 12-month fraud prevention program, which meant he had to go through rigorous processes when making large transactions, obtaining a loan or setting up a new account or credit card. He said these processes sometimes took several hours, and although it was frustrating and some of his transactions were initially blocked, it made him feel secure. At the time, it was very frustrating to sit and do a million security questions, and trying to apply for things was a nightmare, but reflecting on this, I was grateful, he said. Matthew has since applied additional security measures to his accounts and changed email providers and his email address, but most importantly, he has set up two-factor authentication, which is something he did not have at the time of the scam. However, even today, hackers are still attempting to access his information through the email address he no longer uses. I have about 6 or 7 notifications a day saying, "Is this you? Confirm the number to get into your account," he said. "I don't use that email now and I deleted all my personal information off it, but I still have notifications coming from that email." Matthew has still not managed to do many of the things he had planned for the holiday, such as jet skiing, but he wants to share his story to encourage others to tighten their security measures on their devices. "You just don't think it's going to happen to you until it happens," he said. "If I can educate at least one person, like my job as a teacher, then I've done my job." A First Direct spokesperson said, "Protecting our customers from fraud and scams is a key priority for us, and we have a range of features in place to spot unusual activity on an account and protect our customers' money. In this case, we're really pleased we were able to intervene when Mr. Shaw's details were compromised and refund the money promptly. It is also standard practice for us to offer additional support to those customers who are victims of fraud to give them extra assurances when making further payments so they feel confident and supported when managing their account." A Monese spokesperson said, "Here at Monese, we take fraud extremely seriously, investing in and operating a range of controls to detect and prevent misuse of identities. These include algorithmic document authentication testing by specialist providers, identity confidence scoring, biometric matching of video selfies to the facial images in authenticated identity documents, and asking applicants to complete physical and verbal challenges, amongst other measures. As it stands, we can't comment on this particular case as we don't have enough identifying information to investigate. We'd love to contact Mr. Shaw directly so we can look into his case further. That would not only ensure that he receives the appropriate apology from us, but would also help us to protect other customers and thwart future fraud attempts.